Every year in January, at least one Sunday I set aside to renew some of our basic principles that guide the church as we look to the year ahead. It is important for us to be reminded of why we're here, what we're about, what our primary purpose is, how we live that out. This year we're going to do it over the next several weeks, and so I've entitled the series Vision for a New Year, and I'm taking it from the vision statement that we have in our primary documents. And so there are two things that define for us what we believe God has inspired in Temple Baptist Church and who we are to be about and what we're to be about. The first is our purpose statement. The purpose statement says very simply, but also very ultimately, that Temple Baptist Church exists for the glory of God through lives transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. The purpose of all things is to bring glory to God. So we can say this and do so in a way that is both objective but also ultimate, meaning that there isn't anything that is greater. There isn't a purpose, there isn't an activity, there isn't anything that we do, anything that we can become that exceeds the statement that we are here for the glory of God. All things exist for the glory of God, and we are no exception to that. However, the mere declaration of truth is of little value if it can never be appropriated into the life of the believer. So knowing about God is nothing more than mental exercise. Adam and Eve knew God and walked with God in the cool of the day, but it did not prevent them from disobedience. James teaches us that the demons know God and tremble at the mention of his name, yet surely we would not consider them to be in a right relationship with God. There must be something else that moves us beyond mental assent to a spiritual assimilation. How do we take what we believe and make it a part of who we are and what we do? The key to understanding and embracing our truest purpose, simply put, is faith. Now, faith is one of those words that is overused to the point that we don't hear it anymore. It's like being born again, or salvation, church. All of those things are so common that they carry little meaning for us in a particular way unless we pause to consider them. Faith is the key to understanding and embracing our truest purpose. Faith is trust in God, whose steadfast love and free grace are decisively revealed in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Because faith is a personal response of confidence and fidelity to living gracious God, it is altogether different from just blind submission to church teachings or some sort of mechanical adherence to a set of rules and regulations that supposedly make us religious. Faith cannot be generalized if it is to be meaningful. Faith cannot be viewed in this blanket fashion if it's ever going to be transformative. Faith has to go beyond a mere word that designates something to do with religion, and it has to become the defining characteristic for what it means to know Christ. Faith is more important than what we can possibly quantify, and it is something that is going to ultimately define for us whether or not we are living for the glory of God. So when we say that we exist for the glory of God through lives transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is our purpose statement. But how we live that out and what that looks like comes from the statement of vision for the church. And our vision statement is very simply faith, worship, and obedience. Today, we focus our attention on faith. Listen to this litany of descriptive terms about faith. Faith has God alone as its object. It encompasses the whole person, mind, affections, and will. It is both a gift and a free human response. It comes through the hearing of the gospel of Christ. It saves the sinner to the uttermost. It is inseparable from hope. It is able to completely transform life, sustain life, and guide life. It endures suffering, testing, tempting. It grows stronger in the course of life, no matter how long it may be lived. It gives insight into that which is to come. And faith ultimately will cease to exist when it becomes sight. We'll no longer have to believe in what we do not see. We will see and be seen as we've been intended all along. Faith takes us from where we were when we were lost and separated from God and brings us into an experience with Him that changes us so dramatically that the evidence of that is visible in this life, and the promise of that is glory in the life to come. Faith, then, is something that simply cannot be overestimated or stated. If our purpose is the glory of God, then faith is the wholehearted response of love, trust, and joy that enables our acceptance of His grace for salvation from sin and our adoption into the eternal family of God as His own dear children. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, then, teaches us with very specific clarity that by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Faith is, first of all, a gift we receive. Verse 8 tells us, by grace you've been saved through faith. I have conversations with people on a regular basis regarding faith, specifically and in particular. People will talk to me about things in relative to their faith, and oftentimes it's during a time of struggle, and we'll say, my faith just seems to be small. How do I have more faith? Well, faith isn't something that we quantify in that fashion. Jesus taught us that the smallest amount of faith is able to do the most incredible and miraculous things. So it's not the amount of faith. Faith is also something that doesn't emanate from you. It isn't something that you generate on your own. You can't will yourself to have more faith. You can't cause yourself to be more faithful in that regard. Because faith is a gift that we receive. So therefore, the faith that we experience comes from God, and the ability to believe Him at all is also the work of God. That's what Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is teaching us. For by grace you are saved through faith. This is the gift of God. So what do we learn about this gift of faith, and how is it that we can grow? How is it that it can be strengthened in us? Salvation is from sin and its consequences. Sin separates us from God, but salvation reunites us to God so that you have been saved by grace through faith. Faith, first of all, brings us into that experience with God that redeems us from our sin and connects us to Him. I think that's probably a common understanding, certainly among evangelicals, that salvation is the work of God as a result of this receiving of His gift of the saving work through faith. And so this is a powerful and profound truth upon which we stand. It's one of those linchpin doctrines that defines what it means to be a Christian. Everyone understands that, and everyone gets it to a degree. But it is good for us to pause and remember that this is something that God has done in us, and He has done so through the gift of faith. But salvation is by grace. Faith and grace cannot be separated in this regard. Grace means that God is the one who initiates our salvation. God is the one who orchestrates our salvation. God is the one who consummates our salvation. So everything that we are and all that we experience is the result of His work through Christ in the life of the believer. Faith, it becomes then a response. Salvation comes by grace through faith. Faith is the response of our acceptance of God's gift of grace. It's the agreement of our great need for redemption, and it is the annulment of our debt of sin before Him. It is the ascension of our standing being brought back into His forever family. Faith is the response then of our receiving that gift. It is the willing and eager response. One of the things that is the greatest delight of having grandchildren is getting to watch the wonder and awe from a perspective of our age as grandparents that you would have probably been, I don't know, you didn't miss it when you're younger. It's just different. And so we gather as families for holidays and Christmas in particular, which is just past. And you get to watch all of that. Well, the three-year-old spends more time in our house than the rest of them by virtue of work schedules and school schedules. And as the presents started to pile up under the tree during the weeks prior to Christmas, every single time he came in the house, the question was the same. Can I open presents today? The answer is no. And it's almost like you're setting him up to suffer, you know, just by putting them out there. I mean, it's just a constant reminder of what he cannot do and the wonder and the anticipation of what is there. When the night finally came and we gathered to do all of that, there was this just almost quivering response and desire to rip through all this stuff. That's not how we do it. We do it one at a time. You got to wait. The suffering is not over yet. We go through that experience. For us, I mean, we already know everything. Even Kathy and I know what we're giving each other. I mean, we don't do that kind of surprise stuff much anymore. It's all pretty well understood. And so there was no new information to be revealed. But for him, it was all new. It was all new. Couldn't wait to receive the gift. Salvation is a gift that comes because of God's initiative of grace and love, His mercy and kindness toward us in our lost, distant estate. And we receive that gift with the anticipation of being restored and redeemed so that it produces in us not just wonder and awe at the amazement of His grace, but also joy and peace that settles upon us in a way that is unlike anything else. Faith is intensely personal, and it must be more than religion. It must be more than a generalized statement about things related to church. Faith is about a gift given directly to you by God Himself through Jesus Christ. What a wonderful blessing our faith is. It is a gift that we receive. We receive the gift of grace through faith in what God has done without any addition of works on our part. We contribute nothing to our own salvation. In the final analysis, we are saved by Christ alone, through grace alone, in faith alone, to the glory of God alone. It is always about Him, and we are the beneficiaries of that which He has done that is so amazing and so earth-shattering and so eternally significant that the Bible declares to us that even the host of heaven long to look in to see the work of grace being lived out as we receive by faith this wondrous gift. Faith is a gift we receive. He says, by salvation you have been saved. For salvation you are saved by grace through faith. It is not your own doing. It is indeed the gift of God. But it isn't just a gift we receive. Faith is also a trust upon which we rely. Look what he says in verse 9. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Faith and trust are translated from the same words in the Bible sometimes, depending on the context of what is intended. We could call them synonyms, and they certainly are, but I would rather you think of them more as facets. So rather than defining for us something that is the same thing as another thing, it is defining for us a different perspective or understanding of the same thing. So we're looking at the grace of God and the gift of God through Jesus Christ, resulting in the saving work of Christ in the individual believer. But we're looking at it from different perspectives, and that's going to have an impact on how we respond to Him. And so we respond as one who receives a gift when we receive Christ as Lord, but then as we move forward in the remainder of life, we live as one who has been transformed by that gift. So now we are going to exercise faith that will also be often described as trust. Trust. Trust in Christ is more than an event in history. It is also a commitment of life. We trust in Christ by faith to save us, but we also trust in Him by faith to keep us saved. Just as I do not contribute to my own salvation, I do not contribute to my own continuation. I remain saved not because I'm good. I remain saved because Christ is good. And so salvation is the work of Christ that redeems us from our sin, but also that sanctifies us throughout the course of our life, providing us with a sense of security. Security is the hope that we have in Him that remains dependent on Him rather than self. It is the way in which we rely on the work of Christ and the continuing commitment that we see in Him. So that we think about our salvation as something that is in the distant past, perhaps. If you're someone my age, saved at an early age. But what about what Christ is doing now? That's where the trust and the reliance, so that our testimony of God's faithfulness is not simply about what He did when we were redeemed, but what He is doing now in the work of that redemption that is lived out in our daily experience. The faith will not remain untested. If you want to strengthen something, you have to use it. And faith will be strengthened. James tells us that we are to count it all joy, brothers, when you meet various trials. For you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking in nothing. You have everything you need in Christ. That is a remarkable statement and consideration. And yet, when you look at it from the other perspective, what would you add to what Jesus has done that would make things better? How would you improve on the work of God through His saving, redeeming atonement in Christ? Faith is the understanding that through the trials that we face, we become more and more aware of the strength and vitality of the faith in which we have been redeemed. Faith will be tested, and as a result, we'll grow stronger. You don't get more faith, you get a stronger faith. You don't get additional elements of faith, you get a better understanding of the faith you already had. You don't learn how to manufacture or multiply faith. You learn how to share that faith, and as you do, it becomes exponentially more prevalent. So He is calling us to understand that trust in what we rely upon is how we trust in His work to guide us throughout life. Faith is the guiding force by which we live then in all circumstances. In Habakkuk 2:4, it says that the righteous shall live by his faith. We walk by faith, not by sight, Hebrews tells us. Paul even takes the Old Testament passage and repeats it as he teaches us the essence and the importance of faith. Faith is the guiding force in which we live in all circumstances, good, bad, and otherwise. Faith is the victory over temptation and sin. Later in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 6, Paul says, "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." Faith becomes our protection against the influence of evil that remains in us as well as around us. And so we have this hope through faith that we have all that is necessary to equip the believer to live an effective life, purposefully driven so that it brings glory to God and elevates Him not only in the individual's life, but in the lives of all who are touched by that individual. Faith is the victory over temptation and sin. And we see how that victory comes about as we trust in what Christ has done when we face those temptations or struggles rather than our own abilities, limited as they certainly are. Finally, faith yields hope. Trusting in Him gives us hope for the fulfillment of our salvation in eternity. Every time a loved one passes from our midst, every time a friend dies, every time we are confronted with the reality of our own mortality, we are reminded of something that calls us to either trust in what we have believed or to be afraid. Trust in Christ enables us to live in the awareness and the expectation of the fulfillment of God's promises and all that is to come, so that when Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also," He really meant that. When Jesus said, "As you have seen me depart, I will come again," He really meant that. When the Bible gives us the vision of all that is to take place at the consummation of the age, and there will be this victorious, wonderful explosion of glory as all of the people from all of the tribes of all of the eras are gathered at the foot of the throne to sing His praises, He really meant that. Faith in what is to come enables us to live with whatever is before us now. So faith is a gift that we receive, but it is also a trust upon which we rely. Faith then results in a relationship that now is eternally restored. A relationship eternally restored. Look at verse 10. I didn't include it at the beginning, but I want to now. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Listen to the descriptions that He gives of our future. He is calling us to an understanding that is grounded in the reality that we now have a restored relationship. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. The old is gone, the new has come. There is therefore now no condemnation. We are reconciled to God through faith in Christ. Faith is more than what we do. It now is defining who we are. We are people of faith. I have occasionally used that phrase to speak to people, and occasionally I'm called into situations where I'm asked to pray for someone who's sick or to pray with a family who's lost a loved one. And if it is something that I can do, I will ask the question. I don't want to add to anyone's pain or suffering in times like that, but it helps me to understand more. And so I have asked the question, "Are you a person of faith? Or is this a person of faith?" And people will answer most often in the affirmative. Probably wouldn't have called for someone like me in the first place if that weren't the case. However, I know in my mind that when I pose the question, it may mean something different to the person I'm talking to than it does to me. Be that as it may, it opens an opportunity for us to be able to share and show that faith is not about religion, it is always about a relationship. Faith is a relationship restored. And so we can love and we can serve and we can minister and we can worship and we can rejoice and we can stand fast and we can weep and we can have sorrow and we can grieve and we can struggle and we can do all of it as new creations in Christ, because we are not alone, but we are connected eternally through a relationship grounded in the genuineness of faith. He says that we are made for purpose, works of righteousness that reveal the transformation of the soul. Faith without works is useless and dead, so that faith that is limited to mere Sunday morning worship attendance, to religious gatherings, or to religious speak, without any work in the life, without any transformation resulting in the sharing of the gospel and the ministry of the gospel, James would say has little value, if any. We are made by the very hand of God. We are His workmanship, created now in Christ Jesus for good works. I can't think of anything that is a greater encouragement as you look at a new year. I remember thinking to myself at the end of 2020, I'm glad this is gone. 21 is going to be great. And it wasn't. It was terrible. 21 was a lot harder than 20. 20 was weird, and I didn't get it or understand it. 21 was just hard. And it was hard for a lot of different reasons, for a lot of different people. 22, what's it going to be? Well, I'm not making any predictions, that's for sure. But I'm telling you that regardless of what the new year brings, everything that comes our way, whether it is difficult or whether it isn't, is an opportunity for us to stand firm in the faith by which we have been called. Maybe, rather than trying to endure transitions of life and pandemics and changes and circumstances, maybe we just need to live as people of faith. It may look different. In fact, I would fully expect it to for everyone. But the one defining characteristic that should unite us all, regardless of those differences, is our trust in Jesus. Faith is an encouragement as we look at a new year, but it is encouragement as we live every day. We are made for the works of righteousness. That means that our faith has to work itself out in the way we live every day. This has always been the plan of redemption. God prepared beforehand, it says, that we would be His workmanship for good works. All of this has been something that is a part of the providential leadership of God down through the ages. This was and remains His purpose and plan for us, that we would bring glory to Him, and we would do that by living as people of faith, so that we hear again, as we have thus received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in Him. So live in Him. Ephesians 2, verse 7, not included either in the ministry passage that we looked at today. Paul says, interestingly enough, in a verse before what we just read, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. This speaks to us of two things. It speaks of the coming ages. That means the one you're living in now. That means the next breath, the next second, the next moment, and everything that will follow it, that He might show the incredible riches of His grace in Christ Jesus. But it also means in the age that is still to come. It means that when that time comes, either that our life concludes or that Jesus returns, that in that age, when we go to be with Him, we will experience the full measure of His kindness toward us, that has redeemed us, has guided us, and has brought us to the fulfillment of all that he has promised. So we have faith in Christ from the beginning moment in which we enter into that relationship with him. We live every moment after that by virtue of trusting in him. And we have a hope that can never be separated from that faith that guides us in every moment as we anticipate the one to come. Faith, living as people of faith, true, genuine, biblical faith, that's how we take the first step of living the fulfillment and calling of being here for the glory of God. I hope that we can together, as we look to the new year, as we anticipate all that God has in store for us, pause at least for some time to consider that God has made us to be people of genuine faith and trust in him.